All right. Well, I think we should pray for this young man and pray that God will speak to us through his life, through his testimony. Yeah, Lord, we just thank you for Daniel. We thank you for the journey that he's on with you. We thank you that, he's met you and you've turned his life around. And Lord God, we just pray that as he shares tonight, he better share from his heart, he better share honestly. And more than that, that you would be speaking through him to each of us tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you, Daniel. I think we should give him a bit more encouragement, shall we? Yeah. This is the first time Daniel's spoken publicly since he was on the debating team at school. Were you in the debating team?
Yeah, I was in the debating team. Yes.
Yeah. Well, so that's his whole life experience of speaking, but he went to a great school. He went to a great school, didn't he, Cam? So there's a few of us that went to a great school. But anyway, we won't steal it any longer. Way you go, mate.
Awesome, thanks. Enjoy. Thank you. Hi, for those of you who don't know me, my name's Daniel Kaiser. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about my upbringing and adult life and how it came about that I ended up at Surfside Church and giving my life to Jesus and changing my life path forever. I was raised in Kauai by my dad Neil and mum Brenda, along with my younger sisters. I had an amazing upbringing; it was the best sort of upbringing you could imagine. You know, the only part that was missing from my upbringing was God. My dad was an atheist and taught me that you only get one shot in life, so make the most of your years because when you die, that's it; you go to sleep and you don't wake up. So basically, I grew up thinking my father was God to me. You know, he was like God. He was my creator, my provider, my teacher and hero, and I trusted and loved him unconditionally. He could do anything and he knew everything. The first time I truly realized my dad was not perfect, godlike, I was about 18 years old, and my dad admitted to me that he'd cheated on my mum and was leaving her for another woman. So as time went on, I slowly lost faith in the world and my dad. I lost trust in people and sadly lost the faith in family and marriage. Over the next 4 years, I tried to step up as the new head of the family, taking care of my younger sisters and my mum, who was deeply depressed and wasn't really herself anymore. As time went on, one of my sisters found a new father figure who was the boss of a gang in Hamilton. And before long, my younger sister and myself found a new family unit to be involved in. By the time I was about 24 years old, I had a serious drug and alcohol problem. But I managed to get myself away and moved to Rotorua with River's mum, Tracy. We rapidly turned our lives around, and by the time River was 5, I thought I had life sorted. I had professional job, house, had everything, you know, had everything sussed, sort of. Unfortunately, in 2009, the recession happened, and I lost my job as a designer for David Reed Homes. My relationship failed with Tracy, and we split up, and we basically lost everything, you know. We lost a house and just everything fell apart. So I moved back to Raglan, onto my sister's couch in Waitatuna, and started back on that path of destruction, you know, self-destruction. I spent the next 4 years sinning basically as much as possible, and I was in self-destruct mode, drinking, getting high, sleeping around. I found myself in trouble with the police at least two, three times a year. In my mind, I'd failed in life and I'd failed my family. So to stand here in church giving you my testimony is a miracle, really. it's pretty awesome. Becoming a Christian for me was the scariest and yet most amazing, empowering spiritual moment of my life. My journey with God began about 7 months ago. I'd reached a point in my life where I'd had enough of walking in darkness, lost, and substance abuse was no longer working. I'd reached like rock bottom. I was basically at the bottom of, you know, there was no way out. I sort of couldn't see any way of getting out of the situation I was in. So that night, 7 months ago, I was sitting in my room on a Friday night, and I began to pray. And I truly began to pray for the first time in my life. Like, I'd never, ever prayed in my life, you know, like, honestly, believing that there was actually a God. And I said, Lord God, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. I'm broken. I have nothing left inside. No job, no way of getting around, no real friends. My family had basically given up on me. and I'm just a burden to them. I can't even help my son, River, who was living in poverty with his mum in Raglan. And it's my fault, Lord. I said, God, I've committed so many sins. Please, God, help me. I beg you, Lord. Please send me something, someone. I need help, Lord. I don't know what to do. I'm lost. I'm broken. Just help me, please. I repeated this prayer over and over again that night, and I cried. I got angry. I was almost demanding God to come and help me and send me a sign on which path to go on. So I was calling God out. Basically, I was just saying, come on, you know, help. You know, I've got nothing. There's nothing here. And somehow deep down, I knew that he could hear me, you know, that there was someone there, that he was listening to me. So the next day, I got up and I went to do my last 8 hours of PD, which is periodic detention, if you guys probably don't know. Yeah. It's for guys that have done bad things, and none of those people. I'm sure you guys haven't been on PD before. I'll probably be surprised. Yeah. So I managed to get on a crew for PD that was going to Kawhinua Gardens. After morning tea, I got chatting to this guy who had just gone to Spring Hill Prison. Having two family members in Prince Spring Hill Prison, I asked if he knew them. And as soon as I said their names, his eyes lit up. He's like, you know those guys? Wow, like they're the top of the drug scene. Like, you know, how do you know them? And I said, I told him they were family. And he became more excited. So we carried on talking after lunch. And after lunch, he sort of said to me, bro, I've got a proposal for you. I can get you a well-paid job at the freezing works. We can save our money together, and with your contacts, we can buy cheap drugs and go to Christchurch, and we can, you know, buy airline tickets and travel there and sort of double our money, triple our money, and everything's gonna work out for you. It's gonna be fine. He's like saying to me, it's a foolproof plan. I can do all the donkey work, you know, all the stuff that's gonna be any risk. All we have to do is just sort it out, you know, get through your contacts. So at the end of Ed and PD, we exchanged numbers, and he was going to pick me up on Monday morning and go to the freezing works for this job interview. That night, I sort of sat in my room, and I looked up to God, and I was just like, really? You know, are you serious? I just prayed for the first time, and he's like saying, well, you know, let's go and do this. I was like, can't be, you've got to be joking, you know? Like, yeah, so Monday came around, and my mate called me up at home, and he said, oh, I'll come pick you up at 1 o'clock. Like, what's your address? I was like, oh, it's 123 Richards Rose, Kofi. 12:40 came around, and he called me again. And he said, I can't find the roads. The roads have changed into Kofi. The new expressway's been built, and I can't find where to go. So I said, I'll walk down to the shops, and I'll meet you at the Kofi Dairy. Like, surely you can find that, you know? Like, and he never turned up. And basically, I just look at that as that God was stopping him from finding me, you know. Monday night I was confused, and I was sort of like, come on, God, you know, what's up? You got my hopes up here? Like, not knowing that it was God that had stopped this guy, because I didn't really understand. So Tuesday morning I sort of dragged myself out of bed and turned on the shower. Just as I was stepping into the shower, I heard a knock at the door. I thought to myself, it'll be no one. It's probably just a salesperson or something, so I ignored it. Bang, bang on the door again. You know, it got a bit louder. I thought, oh, go away. You know, I'm going to get in the shower and just have a shower. I thought to myself, and then the third knock came, and I sort of thought, it must be important. I better open the door. So I opened the door, and there was Alan Bennett standing there, my next-door neighbour, and said, would you like to come do some work, a couple of weeks' work with me? And I was just like, yeah, well, I'd love to, you know. I thought, and at the time I just thought, sort of thought, wow, that's, you know, this has got to be God, you know. It's sent El over to offer me this work, and I haven't looked back since, you know. My life's just basically totally turned around. I'm still working with El and all the guys now, and yeah, it's just been awesome. I've suddenly found myself in a great working environment, you know. All these workmates like James, Pete, Simon, Ed, Alan. I sort of was all of a sudden thrown into this environment to get closer to God, you know. Like, we'd go on these tricks to Tahora, and we'd talk with each other, and I'd talk to them about God and about, you know, what they knew, and they told me their stories, and I told them mine, and it sort of just was like God had just put me into this perfect situation, you know. And So as time went on, I began to come to Surfside Church each week. When I first sort of came to the church, I was sort of like, what are these people doing here? They're like jumping around and singing and playing guitars. And I was like, this isn't like the church I knew was just at a private school and you knelt on, you know, your wooden kneelers and you sort of read the Lord's Prayer and that was about it. So, yeah, I just sort of, it's been really amazing. And then as time went on, Roger would keep saying every week, you know, like, if there's anyone here that would like to step out and give their life to Jesus or commit their life to God, come forward. And I'd sort of have this person on my shoulder sort of saying, nah, don't go out, you know, you're not worthy of it. You're not one of these people. You're not that person, you know. You're bad. You've done things wrong. You can't, you know. It's not. But then on the other shoulder, I had this other guy saying to me, you can, you know, they'll accept you for who you are. Just do it. Just go out there and, you know, you can do it. And eventually I sort of finally thought, I was there one day, I can't remember exactly which day it was. I was trying to work out a date. Roger asked me to sort of work out a date, but I don't know what date that was. But I just got this overwhelming feeling, I've got to go up the front. And I sort of basically just pushed the guy out of the way, he was beside me, and went up the front and said, I've got to give my life to Jesus. Like, I have to do this. Like, it's got to happen. And I was, like, really emotional. I was trying not to cry because all the band was looking at me and I was sort of thinking, man, this is, like, I felt embarrassed and, like, you know, I've spent most of my life trying to be this sort of tough guy and, you know, and I just had this overwhelming emotional sort of feeling inside and like a relief, you know, when I'd finally done it and it was like this whole weight was just lifted off me from, it was just amazing, this most amazing feeling. And I just feel deeply honoured and humbled to be part of the Surfside Church family. And you're just all such a fantastic, welcoming, trusting group of people who do such good things within the community. And I just feel proud to be part of it for the first time in years. I can stand here in pride and faith. And you're just all an awesome bunch of people. Yeah. And that's my testimony. Yeah.